Okay, good morning to everyone on this brand new day that the Lord has made. I am glad to see you. Haven't seen most of you since last month. It is now November the 1st in the year 2020, and this year is rolling on, and we are going on with the Lord. I'm glad to see each one of you. If we have any new people, new persons with us this morning, we welcome you. My name is Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible Class at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Sister Marcia Hall, who is in class with us this morning, she is the Life Development Ministry Leader. And Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is the pastor. We are all members, Sister Hall and myself, members of Salem Baptist Church, but above that, we are members of Christ's body. And anyone is welcome to join this class from anywhere. And we have others who are with us from other states, other churches, other denominations. I believe we're all Christians. However, anyone is invited to join the class. So I encourage you, when you have the opportunity, to tell others about the class. Just pass on the Zoom information to them. We are continuing in our study today from the Gospel according to Luke. And this morning, we will be studying from Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. So that is our passage of study for today. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Now, most of you are well aware that all of our lessons, well, our lessons from several weeks ago, quite a few weeks ago now, but not all the lessons from Luke. But quite a few of our lessons are available on my website, www.godswordalive.net. So if you happen to miss a class, you can go back and hear it on that website. I hope that each one of you had a good week. I'm praying for you. I encourage you to keep me in prayer as well. So let's go to our Father in prayer. And then we will continue on in our study. I read and teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. If you have another version of the Bible, that's fine. However, for classroom purposes, I use the New King James Version. And you can find a version of that online if you do not have one. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you on this a brand new day. Offering unto you fresh praise, Lord. You are worthy of a fresh praise and a new praise. And so we give you a new glory, new honor, new blessings, new praises unto your great and holy name. We bless you, Lord God. We blessed you on yesterday, and we bless you today. Even in this morning hour, we offer a morning praise to thee. We praise your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We praise you, the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, exalted above all. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, and we call on the Spirit of God now to be our teacher, leading us and guiding us in truth. We ask you by the Spirit of the Lord, to bring every thought captive now unto the obedience of Christ. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to each one of us today. Feed us, we pray, and we'll be careful, Lord, to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20 is our concentration in study today. Let me give a brief review of what we have seen thus far in Luke chapter 10, because the passage is continuing. But this chapter starts out where Jesus appoints 70 others. We know that he had the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, but now he appoints 70 others. And that is in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. He gives them an assignment, he commissions them, and then he sends them forth. But he does not send them forth until he first of all gives them instruction. And so we see Jesus letting them know. First of all, he let them know in verse 2, and this is his assessment of what was going, what they were going to encounter. And they were going to encounter that the harvest is great, and they were going to find out by experience that the laborers were few. Even though the harvest is great and the laborers are few, Jesus commissions them to go. And then he prepares them, lets them know that they will meet with people who would receive them. There would be recipients of their message, recipients of them as the messenger, and recipients of the word that they were given on behalf of the Christ. But there were also, and these 70, by the way, they are going forth to announce that Jesus is coming. They're letting the people know that Jesus is coming and the kingdom of God is at hand. But there will also be, in addition to people being receptive to the message, there would also be those who would reject the messenger, those who would reject the message, reject the Christ, and therefore reject the kingdom of God. And we talked about that on last week, and the Lord spent quite a bit of time telling them and preparing them for rejection. We found out on last week, Jesus pronounces these woes, and they start in verse 13, where Jesus pronounces woes upon cities that rejected his message and rejected his person. And Jesus, his entire Galilean ministry, because we have found out that Jesus's public ministry, the first portion of it was in Galilee. Now we know Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. But Jesus sums up this Galilean ministry right here in Luke chapter 9. And it's as if he takes out this big stamp. And on this stamp, you know how you have a rubber stamp and you might stamp and it says paid in full. Or it might say to be filed. Well, this is a stamp that says rejected. Because overall, Jesus was rejected by the Galileans. His entire ministry, he was rejected. After all the miracles that he had performed, all the teaching and all the preaching that he had done, he was rejected overall. Many people were healed. He healed many. He even raised some from the dead. But just because he healed them did not mean that they were eternally saved and had given themselves to follow the Christ. Didn't mean that at all. The miracles Jesus performed were to validate and to prove that he indeed was God. He was the Savior and he is Lord. And so Jesus's Galilean ministry was one of rejection by the people. So Jesus has commissioned these 70, and our passage picks up today in verse 17, where it says, then the 70 returned. So that's what we'll be looking at today. But first of all, I want to ask you a question. And my question is, if I were to ask each one of you, what is it that you want most in life? Well, your answers would come back varied answers. And if you ask anyone else, and I encourage you to ask someone this week, ask at least one someone, what is it that you want most want in life? And you will find out the answers will come back for the most part. They will come back love. Most people want to be loved and love and joy. Most people want to experience joy and peace. And anyone you ask, they're going to come back, no doubt. Now, of course, there may be some that don't say anything that fits under that category. But things that are wanted most in life is love, joy, and peace. And those things come only from God. No amount of money can buy love, true love, can buy joy or peace. That is something that comes from God. That most all people want that. Now, our passage today in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 17, a word that occurs over and over again, is the word joy or rejoice. We'll see the word joy and the word rejoice. First of all, we see it in verse 17, and we're going to read the passage in its entirety in a moment. But we see the word joy in verse 17. And then if you go on down in verse 20, you will see the word rejoice. And that word rejoice is in verse 20 twice. So we have the word joy in 17. The word rejoice is in verse 20 twice. And then the word rejoiced is in verse 21. And so joy and rejoicing is a predominant word. It is even a theme, we could say, in this passage of scripture. The word joy, rejoice, and rejoiced, okay? But also there is something else that occurs over and over again, and this is the wicked one. And you're going to see the wicked one occurs in this passage, in these few verses. The wicked one appears several times as well. So on one hand, we have joy and rejoicing. But now when we look at verse 17, and this is completely opposite of joy and rejoicing, it says, Lord, even the demons. Now here comes the demons. And so the demons, we're going to see them appearing in many different names here. So first of all, in verse 17, demons. And then in verse 18, Satan. Satan appears, his name at least, Satan. And then we keep going in verse 19, and we see serpents and scorpions, which is a name for demonic spirits. Serpents and scorpions. But also in verse 19, we see the enemy, the enemy. And then we keep going in verse 20, and we see the spirits, talking about demonic spirits. So on one hand, and you can't get any more opposite than this, on one hand, we have joy. That's a good thing. We all want God's joy. But on the other hand, here comes this darkness. And the darkness comes talking about demons, Satan, the serpents, scorpions, and spirits. Now let's read our passage in its entirety. Luke chapter 10. Beginning at verse 17, I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And we're going to stop right there. So that's what we'll be studying today. So we have seen verse 17, we're going to start right there. The 70 now are returning, and they are returning having accomplished a successful mission. Everything that Jesus sent them to do, they indeed do it. And so we would put a stamp on them, success. They had accomplished what Jesus had told them to do, so therefore they were obedient. They didn't do any more than he had told them, and they didn't do anything less. They didn't fall short. They were obedient to the entire commission. They were told to prepare the way for Jesus. They were going forth to let people know that Jesus is coming. So they were not sent forth to lift up themselves, but they were sent forth to lift up the Christ. And we remember John the Baptist saying, I must decrease and he must increase. And so this is what the 70 were doing, preparing the way for Jesus. But they also were doing, in addition to that, spiritual work. They weren't there for, you know, there's a lot of good works. There's many, many good works, but not all good works are spiritual works. Spiritual works must be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual works must be energized through prayer. They are carried forth through prayer. spiritual works are done in the name of Jesus and on the authority of his word. And so the 70, they had done that. They had done spiritual works. They had preached, and they preached what Jesus told them to preach, the kingdom. They were told to say back in verse 9, they were told to say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And they had other things that they were supposed to say too. And so they said what the Lord had given them to say. They also had healed the sick, because Jesus had given them the authority to do that. But when we look now at verse 17, we find out that evidently they had been given by the Lord power to deal with demonic spirits, because they say in verse 17, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And so they had met up with spiritual demonic opposition. There were those who were opposing the work that the 70 were doing. That comes along with rejecting the Christ, is to oppose him. Not only just reject, but also to oppose. And then also, no doubt, they had met some people that may have had demonic spirits. And no doubt they had. Now, these 70 were going forth to harvest the crop. There were souls that were to be saved. And we talked about that several weeks ago. And so now the 70 return, having done everything that Jesus had told them to do. And they may have met up even with demonic oppression and demonic opposition, but they were victorious over it all. How were they victorious? In the name of Jesus. And so they come back, and you picture this, the 70 return with joy. Now, in my imagination, I don't see all 70 returning together at the same time, but they probably came back in the same vicinity of time. Either way, all 70 made it back, and they all made it back with joy. They were joyful. Why? Because first of all, souls had been saved. That's the terminology we would use today, that souls had been saved. Someone had been harvested. And if you've ever been used by God, first of all of us should share the gospel with someone. We have been commissioned to do that. Go and tell others about Jesus and his salvation. But when you share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, even if that person does not receive the message, there's a joy that comes within your soul, because you have done a spiritual work. You have done something that lasts for eternity. You have shared the good news of the gospel. And then for Christ to use you, because some of us have experienced the Lord used us, as it were, to give birth. Now, that comes through the Spirit of God, but we are the vessel that God uses sometimes to usher someone into the kingdom of God. And there is no joy. Well, I won't say there's not any joy that surpasses that, but that brings a supreme joy, is to usher souls into the kingdom of God. And so these 70, they return with joy, because they had seen others brought into the kingdom of God. Okay? And so they come back to Jesus with joy. Verse 17, then the 70 return with joy. So we can see them on the outside happy and jubilant. But now we look at their words. And from here on, we're going to see the words of the 70. And then when you get to verse 18, 19, and 20, the response of Jesus to their words, the response of Jesus to their words and to what they had accomplished, successful mission. But Jesus has more to say to them. Now, the words of the 70, they are telling words. The words say, Lord, and that's a good thing. Jesus Christ is Lord. And they were working under his lordship. They went forth in his name. They went forth as servants, and they returned to him as Lord. and that they're now given a report to Jesus. And I've told you in previous weeks, when it's all said and done, we're going to have to give an account of the deeds that we have done as well. And every spiritual work, now spiritual works come in many categories, but I'm just going to even now limit it right now for a matter of example. As I'm teaching now, that is a spiritual work, teaching the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, seeking truth, seeking to lead others into truth, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might be conformed to his image and not conformed to this world. That is one purpose of us coming together today. So this is a spiritual work. Now I will return to the Lord. And when I say that, I mean, after this class is over with, I will pray and I will offer the whole class back to God. And those who have been with me, I director of the Bread of Life Speech Choir. Well, when we speak a scripture, it is very important that we come back together and offer all that up to God. We want to start in the Spirit. We want to continue in the Spirit. We want to work in the Spirit. And then we want to, quote, end in the Spirit by giving it up to God and giving him the glory. And so after class, I will say, Lord, I thank you for the class, and I'll offer it up to him as an offering, even my teaching. I offer it to him as an offering and praying that he will sanctify it and use it for his glory. And so now the 70 return and they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And so we see there's like an element of surprise. Are they're so jubilant, but it's like I just see an element of surprise. They have experienced more than they had even imagined, because that word says even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, this is a good thing. They have found out that demons who are higher in power than man, demons are higher in power than man. But Jesus is higher in power than them, and we are united in Christ. And so because we are in Christ through his name, we have been given authority over wicked spirits. So it's only in the name of Jesus that these 70 could say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now notice the characters there. We have, first of all, the Lord and his name. And then we have the 70. That would be the us, are subject to us, the 70. And then there are the demons, these three characters that work all throughout even our lives. There's us, there is our Lord, and there is demonic spirits who are constantly opposing us, trying to oppress us and trying to do all kinds of things. And we could say as well, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And so they have learned through experience the power of the name of Jesus. Now, demons, I need to say a little bit about that. I'm not going to give a whole teaching on demons, but we need to say a little bit. What are demons, or who are demons? Well, most of us probably know, but we all had to learn it somewhere. So someone may not know. But demons are angelic spirits. They are spirits. They are fallen angels. Demons are fallen angels. God created angels, but some of those through Lucifer, who was the leader, rebelled against God, and they became fallen spirits, demons, evil spirits, unclean spirits. And so demons are in opposition to God. They are fallen spirits, and they are in alignment with their head, who is Lucifer, who is Satan today. He is Satan. And so demons, they are enemies of God. They are enemies of God. They'll never like God or his son or his spirit. They are enemies forever of God. Demons also not only are enemies of God, but also of the Christ. and of the children of God. They are enemies of righteousness and enemies of truth. That's what demons are. And so the 70 returned saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Let's turn to Acts. I want to look at Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, because in this little passage in Acts, we're going to see in a few verses the work of the enemy. And it's kind of like a synopsis of their work. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 6, and it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So Acts chapter 13, verse 6, and it reads, now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Okay, so let's stop a moment here. So we're talking about some apostles. We're not going to go back and find out who that were, but we're talking about people of God, some apostles. And so it says they found a sorcerer. He was a false prophet, and his name was Bar-Jesus. He was with, next verse, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus. So that's another man, Sergius Paulus, and he was the proconsul. He was an intelligent man. This man, Sergius Paulus, this man called for Barnabas and Saul. That's the apostles of the Lord. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. And so this man sought to hear the word of God, and he sent forth for God's people. But then it says in the next verse, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, you know, that one we saw in verse 6. But Elymas, he did what? He withstood them. He withstood them. And that's something the enemy does. He withstands us. He opposes us and the work of God. And so Elymas, it withstood them. And he was doing what? Seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And so the enemy is always seeking to turn people away from the faith in Jesus Christ. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O fool of all deceit. Okay, so these are works of the demons. That's why I'm reading this. And so Paul said, O fool, and that's a good word, fool. Because we're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit, but others can be full of demonic powers. And it says, oh, full of all deceit. That is a work of the enemy, is deceit. And all fraud, you son of the devil. So demons are in line with the devil. You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight way of the Lord. Okay, so that is right there in a few verses, the work, the mission, a mission statement of demonic spirits. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. But in spite of all of that, the 70 returned saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now we need to talk about the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus. Well, first of all, now this is a whole study in and of itself, the name of Jesus. Well, first of all, what about the name of Jesus? Well, we would say it is through the name of Jesus that we have been saved. We have been saved. Let's look at Acts again. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, because this is a very important verse. Not that other verses are not important, but Acts chapter 4. Now, for someone who's looking for a book to study or wants to study, it would be good to go through Acts and see all the times that the name of Jesus is mentioned. Notice all the sermons in the book of Acts, the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But here in Acts chapter 4, we see in verse 10 says, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. So we see in the name of Jesus, miracles can be performed. But then we go on down, let's skip down to verse 12. And verse 12 says, nor is there salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. And you know, no, I like that word, no, because no is one of those open words. You can say no, and you all try saying no. Well, no just keeps going on, because you just have to pull no back because you ran out of breath. But no is one of those words that keeps going on. There is no other name, no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so the name of Jesus, there is salvation. That's how we are saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved. And so we are saved by the name and through the name of Jesus. But what else about the name of Jesus? That's the only name that God has promised to be with us when we gather together, two or three of us. If we gather together and we meet that requirement this morning, there's more than two or three, and we gather together, not in the name of Life Development Ministry, not in the name of Velma Sanders, not in the name of any church. We gather together in the name of Jesus. And when we come together in that name, he says, I'll be with you. And that makes it a sanctified place, because we gather in the name of Jesus. Our faith is in the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. And we are able, through the power of the name of Jesus, mountains can be moved. How? Through prayer. How do we pray? We say our Father, and we say we come in the name of Jesus. Can't nobody get to God. No one gets to God, even in prayer, without coming through the name of Jesus. So when you pray, make sure you say in Jesus' name, because that's how the Bible said to do it. And you hear people praying all kind of ways, in your great name, and they say different things. But it's important to say the name Jesus. And so the 70 returned here say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They had enough sense to know it wasn't because of us. It was because of the name of Jesus. Now let's look at Jesus's response. Now he has quite a bit to say, because his response is these next verses here, 18, 19, and 20. And if you look at these words, there's history that's going to be in his words. He's going to give some history. He's going to give some testimony. Jesus is going to give the 70 some assurance. He's going to assure them. He's going to instruct them. But there's also going to be a warning that is in his response. And so Jesus, first of all, he says in verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So let's stop right there. So Jesus shares, I would say he shares in their joy. Yes, Jesus would share in their joy, because they have done what he told them to do. And Jesus came to do what? Set captives free. Jesus came to do what? He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And so Jesus shares in their joy that even the demons were subject to them in his name. But Jesus goes to a higher level. Jesus says in verse 18, not talking about demons, but talking about the head of the demons. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall. And so not only are the demons subject to us in the name of Jesus, Jesus says, I saw Satan, who is the head of the demonic spirits. I saw Satan do what? He fell. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so Jesus shares in their joy. He can relate to what they have experienced. He saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, we have already seen in the gospel according to Luke, the authority through Jesus over demonic spirits and over the devil himself. First of all, in Luke chapter 4, let's go back to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we saw in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus, verses 1 through 13, I believe, Luke chapter 4, and that's where the devil himself was seeking to tempt Jesus, trying to tempt Jesus to get him to sin, to get him to be disobedient. But Jesus did what? He overcame the wicked one. And so we see Jesus is greater than the devil. He overcame the wicked one in the wilderness. And then many times in Luke chapter 4, we see in verse 31, Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 31, that Jesus freed a man from demonic possession. He freed that man from a spirit. And it says in Luke 4, verse 32, the people sitting in the synagogue that day, they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And then verse 35 says, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet, talking to the demon, and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? This is. For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. So Jesus knew what the joy that the 70 had experienced. He knew about that joy. But he says here, back to Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, where did that happen? When did that happen? Well, let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, which is the first book of prophecy in the Bible. Isaiah, one of those major prophets. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, and I encourage you to read this passage more fully when you have the opportunity. But for today, let's look at Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, because here's the passage. And Jesus says in Luke, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Well, here in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it reads, how you are fallen, that's the word, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. And that was how, when God created him, this angel Satan now, his name was Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. And we'll stop right there. And that's another work of the enemy, is right here in this verse. He seeks to weaken the nations. That is a work of the devil, to weaken nations. Ultimately, behind weakening of nations is the wicked one. And so this verse in Isaiah 14, how you are fallen from heaven. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. So Jesus says, I saw Satan himself. You all, the 70, experienced demons being subject to them in the name of Jesus. But Jesus says, I saw Satan fall. He fell. And we have to remember, he fell like lightning from heaven. And you know, that was a quick thing. How did he fall and why did he fall? He fell because of pride. He fell because of pride, first of all, and rebellion. Pride and rebellion, root causes of things. Root causes of sin is pride and rebellion. And through pride, through rebellion, Lucifer fell. And so Jesus now interjects in here, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, this is going to work into a warning that Jesus is going to give the 70. Keep in mind, they had been successful. But Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he goes on to tell them, behold, I give you the authority to trample, walk all over. I give you the authority to trample on serpents with an S and scorpions with an S and over all, and all is another word like no, all says all. It just keeps going on till you run out of breath. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so Jesus lets them know, I gave you and I'm still giving you power over the wicked one and the assurance that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, that doesn't mean that life is going to be a bed of roses all the time. Doesn't mean that at all. But ultimately, we are victorious over the works of the wicked one through Jesus Christ, through his authority, through his name, through his word. Now, Lucifer failed. Satan, Lucifer, who became Satan the devil, fell like lightning from heaven. Well, where is he today? Where did he fall to? Well, when the Bible opens up, we are first plainly introduced to him in the Garden of Eden, which was on this earth. And the scripture lets us know. Remember, God asked Job the question. God asked Satan the question. This is in Job chapter 1. God asked Job the question. Let's go to Job quickly. Let's go to Job in the Old Testament. Now, Job is the first book of poetry. So let's go to Job chapter 1. Job being that first book of poetry in the Bible. Job chapter 1. Trying to get there. And the book of first of the books of wisdom as well. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 1, verse 6. And it reads, now there was a day when the sons of God, and this would, in this case, represents angels. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? You know, like, what you doing up here? From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth in it. Okay, so even though Lucifer has been kicked out of heaven, he has fallen like lightning. God in his own wisdom, Satan to this day still has access. He still has access, and he seeks to accuse us before God. He's the accuser, and that's why we need Jesus as the advocate. We have an advocate with the Father when Satan is there to accuse us. But Job lets us know that Satan is going to and fro on the earth, walking back and forth. And then Peter adds on to it, and we're not going to go to Peter this morning, but in Peter, 1 Peter, let me see, 1 Peter, I believe is chapter 5. I don't see it right now on my notes here, but 1 Peter, I know it's in 1 Peter, lets us know that Satan goes seeking whom he may devour. He is seeking whom he may devour. So he's here on this earth even now. That's why we need authority. That's one reason we need the name of Jesus. That's one reason we need to know the word of God so we can discern an evil spirit, so we can discern the works of the enemy. That's part of why we're in class this morning. So the Satan on this earth, and Satan on this earth, he works. He's got many names. And one of his names is he is the God, small g, of this world. And John told us, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5 says the whole world lies in the wicked one. So that means that the enemy is working through everything. He seeks to work through everything in this world, whether you're talking about education or government or music. Our commerce, I wrote down a list of things, our fashion, our food, our marketing, anything in this world. Religion, communication. What does the enemy seek to do? Pervert it, twist it, add in his lies. That's what he seeks to do. Now, the work of the enemy, what is it? He seeks to do what? Entice, to tempt all of us. He's seeking to entice us, to tempt us, to lead us astray, to blind, to pervert, to lie, to murder, to destroy, to confuse, to accuse, and to always advance the work of the devil, advance sin and evil. That's the work of the enemy. But we are in Christ. We are in Christ. That's what Luke chapter 10, verse 19 is letting us know. Jesus not only gave the 70 authority, but he has given us authority as well. He gave the 12 authority over wicked spirits. He gave the 70 authority over wicked spirit. In the Great Commission, he gave some of his final words in the Great Commission. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, he gave them power over wicked spirits. On the day of Pentecost and all throughout the book of Acts, we see the church has power over demonic spirits. And so do we through the name of Jesus. Now, our time is quickly moving, so let's keep going. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus says, now we have power. Let me say this. Now, I named all those things that Satan does, but what are we to do as Christians? We are to stand against the powers of darkness. And that's what the 70 were doing. That's what Jesus was doing. Doing what? Seeking to set captives free. Bringing in the word is a lamp and the word is a light. We are the salt of the earth. We are sent forth to do what? Oppose the works of the devil. The Bible says in the book of James, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. We are here to resist him. He's trying to push us, and we are here to push him back. We are here to resist the works of the devil, but you can only do it if you first of all submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so we are to do what? Stand against him. Stand. That's what Ephesians 6 says. Put on the whole armor of God, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to stand against all the works of the wicked one. And so we are to stand against him. But first of all, we have to know the truth. You have to be able to discern the truth from the lie. And we are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That brings light. And John told us, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. So Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority. Authority. I give you authority. You all know we don't have power but in ourselves, but the name of Jesus. When you use someone's name, when you call up someone's name, now I see the name Suzanne here. If I say Susan, or I'm not sure how you pronounce your name, Susan or Suzanne, when I say that name, I'm bringing up that whole person, all that she represents. And so the name of Jesus, the authority, when we say Jesus is all that he is. All that he is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. And so Jesus says in verse 19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, now here it's going to shift now to like a warning. He's going to also give them a warning in here. Nevertheless, an instruction. You all know we have to keep growing in grace. And there was success. They were successful in their mission. And they came back rejoicing. But there's a danger in success. There is a danger. There's a danger in success. There's a danger. I mean, we want to be successful. Yes, we do. I want to be successful. We should want to be successful. But there's a danger in it as well. And the danger is what? Pride. The danger is pride. Because Lucifer, who became Satan, he was that elevated angel, that cherub. And you have to read Isaiah 14 and also Ezekiel 28 to find out just how wise that God had made him. But he fell. So for us, when we are successful in ministry, it is just, you got to check that real quick, or you can fall off into pride. And so Jesus says here in verse 20, nevertheless, yes, rejoice. I rejoice in Christ my Savior. We rejoice in the power that God has given us in Jesus. Yes, we rejoice. But now we're going to see different levels of rejoicing and what you should really rejoice in. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in your success. Don't rejoice in your success. I mean, give God the glory. And they had said, we did this in your name. And so they did give God the glory. But we see that's the report they gave. That is the report they gave. Is Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus says in verse 20, do not rejoice in this. Do not rejoice in this. Well, what's the this? The this is that the spirits are subject to you. Don't rejoice in the power that God has given us over demonic spirits. Yes, thank you, Lord. We need that authority. We need the power you have given, but don't rejoice in it. Don't rejoice in it. And that also would mean don't rejoice also in successes. You have to be very careful because success can bring a fall. It's at the point of success that pride can enter in. And so he tells them, but rather, instead of rejoicing in that, rejoice. Don't rejoice in gifts. And we thank God for the gifts that he has given. But we want to thank God above that for the grace he has given us in Jesus. He says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And Jesus lets us know, yes, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be used by the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. But the greater thing to rejoice in is that our names are written in heaven. And you know why? It is because gifts don't get anyone to heaven. Gifts don't get us to heaven. And many can be used. Let's go quickly to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Our time is quickly moving. But let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I think we have time to go there. Matthew chapter 7, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. I'm trying to turn my pages. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so the danger is there are some, the name of Jesus has power in it. The name of Jesus alone has power in it. And these people no doubt had, through the name of Jesus, cast out demons and done many wonders. But that does not mean that they are saved. And so the thing we have to rejoice in above gifts is to rejoice in what Jesus has done to us, for us, in his blood. It is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so we thank God for the gifts. Father, as we enter into prayer, we thank you for every gift that you have given. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit to be valued, to be treasured, even to be coveted, Lord. We thank you. But above that, we thank you that we are citizens in heaven and our names are written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, never to be blotted out. For that we do rejoice. We ask you now to be with us this week. Keep us in your care. We pray this in the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That was a good word. Good
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
God. That was a good lesson.
Hallelujah. Yes, it was Hallelujah. A good lesson.
Hallelujah. He was ready.
So, next week, move on to Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Amen.
Next time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Have a blessed week. Thank you. Glad to see everyone.
Bless you all. Thank you for your prayers.
Oh, yes, Sister Anne. We'll take you back with us. I can't find you right now, but I recognize your voice. Glad to see
you. Take your lesson.
Glad to see you.
Glad to be back.
Take the lesson. Yeah, it was an awesome lesson. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He was into it. He was wrapped up. Wrapped up.
Glory to God.
Wow. She was great.
God bless you.
As usual. As usual.
Glad you made it back in.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Bless you, teacher.
Bless you as well, Sister Cole. Bye bye, everyone.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bless one.
Bless the Lord, oh, our souls. Oh. You know, I gave up this one. I really gave up. I said, Lord, I can't get out.
But God,
can't get out of the building. Can't get out on my telephone. No. What do I do? I was frustrated.
But the Lord made a way, didn't he?
Yeah, you came and called. You called.
Thank God for taking me.
What did you say? Oh, those are some of the others in the class.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, bye, Sister Velma.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.